B-Pod Studios.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios.
Feet.
Why would he say horrible foot fetish? He's been marginalized by cancel culture.
DA.
I always, please.
DA, you were here early on
never,
a Monday.
Well, man. Yes, I heard the signal went up. Never say horrible foot fetish. You have a lovely, beautiful foot fetish. Yes. Where was I? Town Fair Tire Studios. I believe I already said that. 617-779-0985. We'll take phone calls today. I actually, in my mind, have... I never write anything down. But in my mind... Because lazy. But I do, in fact, have a list of things wrong with the Patriots.
Oh, nice.
How long is the list?
And every
mine's pretty lengthy.
Well, mine reverts back to in the off season.
Yeah.
So everything I said in the off season, I want to go through step by step and inform the audience that I was right, mm-hmm. and that this season would have been better spent not spending that money and just giving young guys an opportunity to play. But that is for another time. I also today want to do something that, do you ever watch Saturday Night Live or see the highlights there? They have them on the AV Club.
Yeah, once in a while, sure.
All right, so they did a trailer. You know how the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air has a reboot where it's like serious?
It's a gritty retelling, yes.
So they did one for Family Matters. That is, they stole. And it's like, you know when Carlos Mencia did, like, he stole, and he stole from Bill Cosby's himself?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you just stole from, like, the most popular, the popular stand-up set of all time. Certainly something that aired on HBO throughout my childhood on a daily basis. They stole something from Key and Peele. Completely stole it. And
this week's SNL?
On this week's SNL, they did something with Urkel that was, I mean, it was tweaked, but I don't know how they didn't know Key and Peele existed. I mean, it was a marginal hit, and there's no way they didn't know, because if you get a room, I mean, Saturday Night Live's got, what, 17 people on the cast, plus probably 17 writers, and they're all comedy nerds. So if I knew about it, Key and Peele did it, and we'll play some of it. It's got to be censored so badly that it's going to have to take time. But Key and Peele did something where the character, the guy who played the cop, it's like Reginald Van Johnson or whatever his name is.
Yes.
Like, he's being himself. it's Peele doing it. And he's complaining to the network executive about how Urkel has taken over the show and all this. And then it turns out Urkel comes in and has, like, these powers where he can control you.
Okay.
And puts a gun, makes Reginald Van Johnson put a gun to his head. And I saw it, and no one's calling it out. So that will be an exercise to break up our discussion of the Patriots.
It's like a regular Louis C.K. Rich thing going on. It's like the same.
Why'd you do that? Let him be.
The same idea.
Were you here for that?
I was present that day. Yes.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. don't do that to Rich. Don't bring.
I heard
that
about
up
that. I did not. I was obviously not here for
he
that.
He was dead serious that Louis C.K. had stolen his material. And.
By the way,
that
Jones.
Wasn't nice, Adam.
Jones, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, Adam Jones is here, and it's funny because, like, Nick will put something on the internet. He's like, Adam Jones is tonight. Yeah, I'm not listening to Fred and Adam. I'm not listening. Yeah, you're listening.
This is Jones's day, man.
Well, no, but like, what do you want him to do? What do you want him and I to do? like to tell you that that was good.
Yeah, it'd be nice. That was a good year.
No, it was a wasted year, which was my point in the off season. It was a wasted year, and I'm not. And you can say you can point to Mac Jones, but I don't know if I'd rather have Mac Jones than those other quarterbacks. I don't know that at all. He might turn out, but then I look. But look at that very game. What was Josh Allen coming out of the draft? Josh Allen was a supremely physically talented player mm-hmm. that was dumb mm-hmm. and was from a small school and dumb and not prepared for the NFL. And he sucked. And then they coached him. And now he was good enough to give you a pretty much an all-time beating. So are you better off taking a quarterback that's ready to play now and is physically limited? Or are you better off taking your lumps with a kid with a ton of skill?
It goes back to trading up or not trading up to get yourself in the conversation. Did you want Justin Fields? That was the argument during the draft when
yes.
Fields kind of slipped, what, 9, 10, 11, wherever he wound up going.
I think 11, and the Giants moved back and the Bears moved up.
Right,
to get
him. So okay. I mean, the Bears did that and you didn't.
All right, and then let's look at Justin Fields where he is. He starts from nothing next season because he has to learn a whole new offense with everyone else. So even if Justin Fields doesn't pan out, don't you think Justin Fields with McDaniels and Belichick would be better?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you think that they would? And even though he probably wouldn't have been as good as Mac Jones this season, wouldn't you have great confidence that they could develop a kid that was supremely athletically gifted into a better quarterback?
And they've been interested in running quarterbacks before. I mean, you remember they were infatuated with Lamar Jackson at one point, and they didn't go get him. But, I mean, it's not like this organization is completely against running quarterbacks.
And and Fields is a more adept pocket passer than Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't completely rely on his legs.
Right.
So,
the thing. I mean, Allen, I think, was the 7th overall pick by Buffalo.
And the Bills moved up for him,
too. And that's the thing. I mean, is that going to be the difference? The fact that you had an opportunity to move up and didn't. I mean, the plus side is Mac Jones is fully formed. I mean, he can get a little bit better.
Yeah.
But what you see is basically what you get.
Right.
So you know how to build the organization. Can you win a Super Bowl by building around a quarterback who needs a lot of weapons around him and needs a good support staff?
So I'm hearing Ted Johnson, he did his football show, and he was talking about when you have a mobile quarterback that it screws everything up for the other team because you can devise the perfect defensive scheme. You can have everyone in the exact right place, but when it's a broken play – and you have a guy. Well, first of all, if you have a guy who has 9 seconds to, you know, try to throw one out of the outside, you know, anyone's going to be able to do that. And he said he wasn't even trying to throw it; he was trying to throw it out of the end zone because he sat around and probably got bored with holding the ball for so long. But you know, so it's known. I mean, it's a fact. Like the reason these guys want guys that can go off script, and the reason these guys want people that can run, is that no matter what you do defensively, it might not be enough. You could have everyone in the right place. You could have everyone covered. You could basically know what the other team's doing.
Patriots are pretty good at.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when it breaks down and a guy can take off for 22 yards or a guy can scramble to his right and throw across his body 30 yards down the field, I mean, that screws everything up.
Well, and Ted would know this, but like, Bill's biggest fear, right? Whenever they're going against a mobile quarterback, he like completely changes what they do, right?
Yes.
He doesn't don't we don't want guys in man to man coverage turning their back so a quarterback can rip off big gains.
Yes.
So like, Bill is afraid and fearful of quarterbacks like that on the other side, but then he doesn't want a quarterback like that on his own side. That seems inconsistent. Weird.
I'm not even convinced he wanted Mac Jones. But the thing is that I'm kind of glad that you guys are here today so I don't have to get bogged down in tedious arguments like about, you know, whatever. So, I mean, I would make the argument because the one thing you could say is, well, you developed your quarterback. And then I can come back and say, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how good this kid is.
Well, as we said before the game, we were talking about this Thursday and Friday. The Patriots are in a position where, after seeing what Mac Jones is, you're going to have to keep taking quarterbacks. You're going to have to keep it, maybe not a first-round pick.
Sure.
Because I think they're picking 21st this year because Pittsburgh lost last night. So I think the draft order is in.
Yeah.
They're going to pick 21st. You're not going to get a quarterback at 21, especially this year. But you got to keep second, third, fourth-round picks. You got to keep taking guys to see if one of them pops and gets better than Mac Jones.
So I didn't hear you guys say this last week, but I'm on board with that plan. And, like, they did that with Brady. So like, I'm sure you guys made that point.
Sure.
If you're going to do that with Brady, keep churning it with Mac, whether it's mid-round pick or late-round picks or whatever.
Garoppolo in the second. That Kevin O'Connell, the offensive coordinator everyone seems to want, he was a third-round pick of the Patriots coming out of college. I mean, they kept taking quarterbacks. Now, again, none of them panned out, and they wound up going against Brady, which means they were never going to get a chance.
They took a quarterback the year after Brady won the Super Bowl, didn't they? They took Davey the next year in the middle rounds, fourth round or something like that. Maybe it was 2 years later.
So keep taking quarterbacks. Keep swinging.
And the worst-case scenario, as we discussed on Friday, is you develop the kid and trade him.
Yeah,
right.
And you get rid of Hoyer. And the kid turns out to be a decent backup. Okay, great.
Then you got a backup quarterback, and you develop him for 3 years, and another team falls in love with him because, you know, Matt gets hurt. He starts a couple games. He plays well. And you have a Scott Mitchell situation.
A Garoppolo situation is what you have.
Right. And you can go, well, hopefully you handle it a little better than that.
But then
you go ahead and trade it. But so my point to Patriots fans, which was what I said in the offseason, was were you better off spending $180 million in free agency and losing in the first round of the playoffs, or would you have been better off sucking it up and losing, playing all your young guys, seeing what you had, giving them a year of experience, and then building depth from there?
All those guys on that defense got 1 year older. J.C. Jackson's not coming back.
Okay, and as far as them not like having a good young core, why they break down at the end of the season? They're old. And so all those guys that you hung on to, Hightower, McCourty, I mean, you got to get rid of them.
Brought in Van Noy. I mean, yeah.
You got to, yeah. So
you have to have much more speed at linebacker.
Would you have been better off trading some of these veterans for draft capital going into this draft with a ton of picks with the idea of getting younger and giving yourself a target? And you could have started this last season. And giving yourself a target date of next year or the year after to be a true Super Bowl contender that could make a long run.
How many position groups are you confident in looking at the roster right now? For next year. How many position groups?
Like probably running back?
Running back, maybe.
That was one. I have two of them.
Running back, defensive line?
Offensive line.
Offensive line outside of Isaiah Wynn. Yeah.
I don't even know that I feel that confident in offensive line. I'd say running back.
Running back, definitely. I'd say offensive line. Barmore is a keeper for the defensive line.
Sure.
But, yeah. I mean, as I said, linebacker, safety, cornerback with J.C. Jackson leaving. All of those are mammoth question marks for this team.
And are you satisfied with the depth on this team? You know?
I mean, the one good thing about this draft is you got three guys out of your top four picks that look like they can contribute.
No, you drafted well.
Right, for once they actually drafted well.
So the idea, John, is that you, and I don't think you disagree, is that you, if you would have, you know, mortgaged a little bit of the present.
Yeah.
You drafted well last year.
We talked about this.
Then you drafted well the next year. And then now what? Now we're looking at a 10-year run. Oh, and by the way, your coach is 70. So for everyone who goes, oh, Fred, well, this is the way you do it if you're the Jets. Or, oh, Fred, you know, with the Jets are in such a worse. They got a young quarterback who's more skilled. They got a young coach. They have a million draft picks. And they played more young kids than anyone else in the league and got them a year of experience. Now, are they going to – they're the Jets, so they're probably going to suck forever.
They're going to ruin some of those kids that they drafted.
Yeah, sure. It's true. Sure. And who knows how – you know, who knows?
Just have to hope the quarterback isn't one of them.
But I'll tell you this, is that all this during the 7-game winning streak of what an a-hole I am and how stupid I am, I don't know that the Jets are in a worse situation than the Patriots. That's just an example.
By the way, the pressure is on the Patriots to really draft well at this point.
Well, it's on every team that's not good to really draft well. And that's why you want as many picks as possible, because you're not going to hit on all of them. So the Stephon Gilmore that you waited around to trade, this whole process could have started 2 years ago. You could have started dumping these veterans that got you nothing. You could have started dumping these veterans, acquiring picks, playing young guys, taking your lumps with your eyes on 22 or 23 to be your season. But no. Belichick's a genius. No.
Well, he's got a wins record to chase.
Yeah. Making the wild card game and getting absolutely destroyed, in my mind, is no better than going winning four games, because you're not winning the Super Bowl next year. So what the hell's the difference? Build depth, draft through the draft, not through free. And then once you're confident that you have a good young core, now you start adding veteran talent.
And that's the thing. I mean, Josh Allen and the Bills aren't going anywhere. And even if you somehow manage to get away from them, you have Patrick Mahomes to deal with in the playoffs.
They're not beating. I mean, Buffalo is so far and away better than
them. That was the thing. In all three games, Buffalo had the better roster.
Yeah.
It's just a question of, can the Patriots somehow pull off an upset? And they were able to do that mostly because of the weather one time. But when
it was an act of
when
God.
You had equal right when you had
it equal, really was
no when you had equal footing, the Patriots had no chance.
So I would like phone calls today for once, because I want people to tell me that you're better off losing the wild card game. Now you're going to lose all this veteran talent that you could have exchanged for something is all gone now. It's all going to, you think McCourty's going to be on this team? God, I hope not. I mean, you think that Hightower's going to be on this team? God, I hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, the game has changed since you drafted those guys.
You need to get a lot faster.
Yes.
And you need to draft young linebacker talent.
You need an entire linebacker. You need an entirely new linebacker core that is adaptable, that it can play in today's game.
Yeah, this is not coming up here. This is not a skill position draft. This is not a draft where you get a tight end or a wide receiver or running back early. You get defensive help.
You're not getting top two picks easily. You're not getting the best tight end is supposed to go in the third round or something like that.
I know what you're saying. The focus of this draft is very clear.
And by the way, you didn't hit on the majority of the free agents that you signed.
No. There was one guy that was a home run that disappeared in the last month of the season because he was hurt.
He was hurt, and he was also the one older guy that you took. Which was a problem that I had with that signing. So, I mean, call. Tell me. Everyone that for now, almost a year, has been screaming at me.
I like this. Get in the mud. I like this. Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong. You've been telling me I was wrong for almost a calendar year.
Get in the mud with Fred.
Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong. Because I don't think I was.
Of all the days for you to be here, Jones.
I'm honestly excited. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Jones is not going to engage me in like some minutia about how the team is young or something like that. It's not. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
All right, since no one called, I went to Twitter to the Toucher and Rich mentions. This guy Joey D, who can't stand me, but
he's like a frequent chirper.
He tweets at me how much I suck every day. So it's thank you for listening. But listen to this compelling argument.
Okay.
Listening to Fred Tutcher play GM for the Patriots is such compelling radio. Fred, stick to fart and penis jokes. You're no football executive. The more you talk about it, the less I want to listen. You have no clue. Okay, well said. What did I say that was wrong? Thank you, Joey, for really bringing it to my attention.
At least he likes the fart and penis jokes.
Well, good. I mean, you know, there's plenty of those. And then this guy says, Allen was also given wide receivers who can get open and catch the ball. Well, here's the deal. The Patriots went out and got two receivers in free agency and two tight ends. Now, unfortunately, only one of them can play. But even though people liked Bourne, but I don't really get...
Bourne? Yeah, Bourne's all right.
No, I mean...
He was a lot better than I thought he would be. I would grant him that.
Guy's making $5 million a year for 3 years. He caught 55 passes for 800 yards and 5 touchdowns, which is about what you would expect for a guy making $5 million. He's all right.
He was better than I thought. Yeah.
All right, he's fine.
He's a good secondary piece.
Yes.
Sure.
He's a third receiver on a good team.
Right. But you say, like, the Bills went out and got Allen weapons. Well, the Patriots went out and spent $180 million and got
wildly overpaid for Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, who blows. And Jonnu Smith, who blows. And they got Hunter Henry, who's great in the red zone.
He's fine. He's nothing special. He's overpaid.
He's very overpaid. And he's really good in the red zone. But he's no dynamic weapon. He's no Kelsey. Like, he's not some dynamic weapon. So,
no, but to your point, they tried to get him weapons.
Yes.
Just the weapons kind of stink.
And right. I still say that great weapons with this quarterback might be wasted. I mean, how often can this quarterback be dynamic?
Okay, but here's what you would need is you would need guys that are dynamic after the catch.
Okay, that's fair.
But you need a Tyreek Hill type,
Debo Samuel instead of N'Keal Harry.
Right. Well, yeah. you get a long ball threat like Nelson Aguilar. Okay. All right. How often you send that guy on a fly, is Mac Jones going to get him the ball?
Well, the argument would be just the threat of him being there opens things up. Yeah, but
he took the top off the defense. All right.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he doesn't do anything.
No.
See, they ran out and everyone got a boner because they ran out and signed everyone in the world.
We all predicted at the beginning of the season that Nelson Aguilar was wildly overpaid and would be terrible.
Oh, no. It was the most exciting day in the Patriots fans' lives. They loved it. The day that they went out and signed all these guys.
Right.
And they went.
The day they used to make fun of all the other teams for doing it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, look at all these moron teams signing all these people.
Well, they are moron teams. Believe me, I'm a fan of a moron team that signed.
Then they went out and did it. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, that signed a bunch of idiots that couldn't play. Tremaine Johnson's and garbage that didn't even make the field. Yeah, would you just. The Bills surrounded Josh Allen with weapons, but the Patriots certainly tried.
And Allen can get the ball to all of these guys, regardless of what routes they run. I mean,
and by the way, I wouldn't have gone into free agency and gone just like hog wild like this year.
I'd also argue Allen makes a lot of their weapons better. Like, Diggs is legit. So, I mean, they went and got Diggs, but like, I don't know. Is Dawson Knox that great? They drafted him in like the second or third round.
They drafted him. That's the key word.
I mean, fair point. Fair point.
And, and Gabriel Davis too. At least they're drafting weapons.
But those are like they didn't put like huge investments into those guys.
But they got Diggs when they knew Allen had developed to push him over. They didn't run out and get Diggs his rookie year.
Right.
They knew when they drafted Allen that he was going to suck his first year. He's stupid. They knew it. He's from a small program. He wasn't just going to come in and take over. He's still very uneven. Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I'm one of those people that thought that Bill Belichick was such a genius for rebuilding the team in 1 year. But watching how they played on Saturday, I realized that all he really did is delayed the rebuild by a year.
Yes.
I mean, he signed a bunch of old guys, and now the rebuild has been delayed by a year, and honestly, I'd feel okay about it if they played all right on Saturday. You know, if it was a competitive game and they actually brought some heat and there was something to feel good about going into next year with a lot of these veterans on 2 and 3 year deals, you know, then I could feel good about it, but they got their ass kicked. So now it just feels like everything just needs to get blown up. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that they've reached their potential with this current group. And what's going to happen is they're going to
They reached it like 5 weeks ago is the problem. Yeah,
yeah, and they're going to have to jettison a lot of these older players and draft kids and play them. So yeah, the rebuild starts. I would suppose now.
It's a good way of putting it, though. The rebuild, it took some heat off Belichick. You know, he got his wins in the meantime to close the gap on Shula. But, like, all he really did was delay what needs to be done, right?
The question you have to ask is, and this is when they spent all that money in the first place, is the owner going to stand for this? And what we heard at the time was the reason Robert Kraft signed off on spending all that money is he doesn't want this kind of rebuild. I wonder if his attitude has changed.
I would hope
he saw the way this season ended.
Yeah, I would hope so, or you're in danger of a Jerry Jones situation. Then you're in danger of a guy, or a Woody Johnson situation, where you're in danger of a guy who goes, now, and then it just doesn't work. How can you be a Patriots fan today and be happy? Like, what are we saying that, like, would piss you off as a Patriots fan? If I'm a Patriots fan, I'd be... Well, really pissed.
The year was a big success, Fred. They were the over under in Vegas before the year was 9.5 wins.
Yep,
they won ten and got lost. You know, four out of their last five games.
Yeah.
Fell flat on their face and got smoked in the playoffs. So it's obviously the arrow's pointing up.
Yeah, what it did is it got you a worse pick, and what it did is you kept around guys that did nothing where you could have jettisoned them for better picks. And then on top of that, even if you just played younger guys, then it's a season with experience where those kids have experience. In worst case scenarios, you know you don't want them.
Right, Uche and Winovich and those guys. I mean, I don't know if they qualify, but like those guys weren't even playing by the end of the year.
Those guys qualify. I mean, now's the time we got to figure out.
Dan just said Asiasi. Yeah, like what?
I mean, like don't forget Dalton Keene. I mean, you spent 2 third round picks on tight ends. Neither of which were good enough.
No more. I think they used picks to move up for both those guys. I think too. On top of it,
you spent 2 third round picks on tight end. Neither of which can see the field.
And then
you had to spend money to go replace them.
Yeah, you drafted two kids in the third round, and then you went out a year later and spent
not one but two tight ends.
And spent $1 billion on two tight ends,
right?
One of whom sucks. And for what? You couldn't have sucked it up and played the kids and seen what you had. And then if they suck, they suck. And then you know you build through the draft, and then when you're good and you have your core. You add guys. Now, you don't add Nelson Agholor, but that's the danger of free agency. Some of these guys are free agents for a reason. You know, teams, especially wide receivers, teams tend to hang on to wide receivers. The teams tend to keep the elite receivers.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. I just don't get if you're a Patriots fan, why are you mad at me? like I'd be mad at the team.
I just... saying there are still people out there, and I ran into a few of them on social media. I got the Jones treatment over the weekend. You would have been proud of me.
I
was complaining about how bad this team was, and I got an avalanche of tweets coming back, and they said, "Why they've had it? They made the playoffs. It's a good year." And my answer to them was, "Are you not watching what's in front of you? You should be angry. Also, this is verbatim. You should be angry. Also, this team fell on its face and collapsed, and they're getting pantsed on national television.
The Steelers made the playoffs.
This is the worst beating I've seen them take since the Super Bowl against the Bears all those years ago.
Yeah, you're the Steelers. Like, that's all. The Steelers made the Eagles made the playoffs. Like, who cares?
And by the way, if Mac Jones is your quarterback, you got another 4 years on a rookie deal.
Yes.
And so you have time to go crazy in free agency. You don't have to do it his rookie year. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think when you reflect back on the season and you look at, as I think you were saying before, John, $100 million in the offseason, $180 million in the offseason, and it buys you, you went from 7-9 to 10-7, so essentially bought you three more wins at about $60 million a win.
Yeah. And how many wins did that buy you in the future? That's the other part
of it. Well, and the thing is that wouldn't you rather, Tom, not have those wins and have better, be in a better draft position? Wouldn't you rather? Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, no, I think as you were saying, when you look at the game on Saturday night, and you look at the product, that was like watching, you know, a D1 school play a D1AA school in their first game of the year to get ready for their actual season. Like
Alabama versus
it was
Citadel.
Tough to watch.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, just the eye test. It was just tough to watch.
So yeah, and my point is, would it be so bad to have 2 years where you counting last year? If you allowed yourself to be worse last year, you draft your quarterback. You're bad this year, but maybe a little bit better. With your eyes on this coming season as being the year, now this offseason you sprinkle in some young free agents. With your eyes on making the playoffs this coming season, and then that beginning a long run with a young core and a young quarterback. And a quarterback who you would still control so next season, so you still have 4 years of him on his rookie deal, which is when all these teams can build those championship rosters.
What really angers me is the Patriots were on the other side for all of those years when they had Brady, and there would always be a team that they'd run across in the playoffs. Oh, isn't that cute? You know, they're what a story. They got that rookie quarterback. He's better than any other rookie quarterback. Like when Tim Tebow in Denver came to town that 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't they great? What a story they were. And they came to Foxborough, and the Patriots beat them by about 500,000 points.
Yeah,
that's what happened to the Patriots when they went to Buffalo. The Bills were like, oh, you know what? You're really cute. Nice story. Now it's time to play.
And by the way, when you have Brady, none of these rules apply.
Right. Sure.
So
right.
So nothing I'm saying now applies if you have Tom Brady. But if Tom Brady in his prime, which he's pretty close to still being in it. But if you have Tom Brady in his prime, none of these rules apply. So I understand as a Patriots fan being confused in the offseason because you've never rooted for a team that sucks.
He's still doing it in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Tampa
insane.
Has no defensive backs. They have no running backs.
It's ridiculous.
They got one of their best wide receivers out for the season.
It's ludicrous what he can do.
Yeah.
So none of this applies if you have Tom Brady. But now you don't, and now you're every other team. You're every other team. So the rules of that apply to those other teams apply to you. Now you hope you have a brain trust that's smarter than the other teams, that you probably do. But you still have to go through the machinations. You still have to, you just hopefully do it better than other teams. But, I mean, they screwed up everything. They screwed up everything. And if you're a fan, you're mad at me, you're mad at Walk, you're mad at Jones. What are you mad at us for? I didn't do it.
You tried to warn them. Tried to tell everybody.
Well,
You were looking out for everybody. Well, they should be happy with you, quite
frankly.
I tried
to tell the Patriots fans what it's like to root for any other team. and this is what it's like to root for every other team.
Well,
there's false hope. There's DVOAs that say you're going to the Super Bowl. There's we've racked up some wins. Look at this. We beat the Jets by 7,000 points. Like ta da da dee dee dee. And then this false hope with an inevitable crash.
Yeah, it's not so fun.
And your coach is 70.
He's back. He's back though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Said he's back.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back. We'll continue to take your phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. I'm reading the Patriots game notes that the team puts out. A lot of focus on the weather.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of focus on the weather.
Usually there are like 2 or 3 pages of these notes. Not a lot.
No, not a lot. Imagine if it wasn't cold. I heard Josh Allen was going to have all this problem in the cold and bad circulation. Imagine if it wasn't cold, how bad it would have been. Like, Patriots are lucky they got those conditions. Otherwise, it really could have been a disaster.
I just think it's funny that Josh Allen just stated the obvious, and it was this big red flag.
Like, yeah, sometimes in the cold, my feet get a little cold.
Yeah, like I don't like playing when it's really cold. Well, yeah, I would imagine it sucks. You know? I would imagine that, you know, I don't like being outside in the cold either. Let alone having to... rock thrown at me at 90 miles an hour probably wouldn't be the funnest thing in the world. Yeah, but they have, if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Slater has the most postseason special teams tackle in NFL history since 1994.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. You're aware of that, right?
I guess he's played
another
more.
He's Pro Bowler again this year.
I guess he's played more games than anybody else, so I would hope he had more tackles.
He leads Larry Izzo by two.
How do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Mark Pike, by the way, fourth on that list.
Oh, Mark Pike.
Everyone's a big Mark Pike fan.
Yeah.
Don't know who Mark Pike is?
No, I'm not familiar.
But I'm sure he was a gunner. Dan, go ahead.
Freddie, I strayed from you. I got caught up in the Belichick is Jesus. I got caught up in the 7-game win streak, and Brady had a couple of bad games, and they said that Belichick was closing the gap on who's more important. Wow. What a... Jeez, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say. They're awful. They're old.
Now
they're
slow. You should apologize to Fred is what you should do.
No, yeah. Dan, yeah. I don't... Dan, I
apologize
don't blame
to Fred
you.
And listen next time.
You had 20...
I apologize.
You had I don't blame you. You had 20 years where they could literally do anything, and it didn't matter. They could... They could, you know, Mankins, who needs them, Seymour, who needs them. They could do whatever they wanted, and it didn't matter. You would go, what the hell is going on? Why are they getting rid of these guys?
Revis for a year, but it doesn't matter. Just let him go. Let our two starting cornerbacks go. We'll try this guy, Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
That'll work.
And it didn't matter. Whatever you did, it didn't matter because you had Tom Brady, and it's hard and apparently painful to realize that now you are like every other team in football.
Right. There was nothing special about your organization. Nothing. Except that you had the greatest player of all time.
Right.
That's it. The Bulls drafted Michael Jordan, and they won a bunch of titles, and then he left, and they suck.
Yeah.
And it's like there was nothing special about the Bulls. There was nothing special about the way they did business. Nothing next level about it. They just employed the best in the sport. And that really is what's looking like was the magical special sauce here in New England. It wasn't Belichick. It wasn't Kraft. It wasn't anything except having the best player of all time. That's it. He went to Tampa. It still works.
Well, Kraft concerns me if I'm a Patriots fan, if the belief is that he won't go through a losing
season.
That's
the danger. That's the one thing that matters more than anything else in this offseason. What's the owner thinking? I mean, I just spent $100 million. Well, we won 3 more games.
Well, you heard that.
You're going to throw more money after this
it's
money?
It's closer to, say, $200 million.
Did you hear the Shady McCoy thing from last week?
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, we kind of know what he's thinking. He was pissed. Let's get out there and let's win and let's answer, and that's his mindset. He doesn't want to go through a losing season.
That really concerns me if I'm a Patriots fan, because when you get an owner that meddles like that, that's no good. Because you can watch as much football as you want, and you can do whatever you want. But he doesn't know the game like these other guys do. You got to get an owner.
Is Bill going to stick around for a 4-5 win season? Is Bill going to stick around and coach a 4-13 year?
Here's what concerns me is that, like, how sharp is a guy going to be when he's 73?
Right, so, like, once you get everything really... If you get everything really back on the tracks, now you have a 73-year-old, you know, end-of-career Marv Levy.
Right.
Potentially.
Like, for instance, if like I heard someone call into a, it might have been a national show, and they said, or it probably was here, and they're like, well, Mara would trade for Belichick. And so I'll ask you, if I'm a Giants fan, would you want that to happen? Would you want to trade for Belichick?
What
now?
Am I trading? First round pick?
Yeah, like I gave up a first round pick for Bill Belichick.
If I were a Giants fan, would I want Bill Belichick? Probably.
Yeah. I don't know if that,
I don't know if it's good business, but I'd probably be on board with that if I were
Giants. Considering how bad the franchise has been, maybe, but I think I see Fred's overriding point here.
So my point is
it best for the organization to have a
No, my answer to that would be no.
It's not. So that goes back to my original point. Bill is going to be here. If they follow this track and Kraft is like, okay, we need to draft well, we need to accumulate capital, we need to take a step back for a couple of years, is Bill going to say, fine, you do that, I'm out of here. I'm not going through this. I've been to the heights of the profession. I'm the best ever. I'm not going through a 4-13, 8-9, 10-7 rebuild. I'm not doing that. And so then you're really back to square one, because then you have to go find the next head coach who is going to pale in comparison to the guy that he's replacing. And then you're probably going to have to go through at least two coaches before you get the right guy to lead the rebuild.
See, I would make the argument that if you had the two losing seasons and you go 10-7, your quarterback's in his third year, you got more of a chance to make some noise than this team did.
You do. I'm not arguing that with
no,
you.
No, no, no. You're agreeing with me.
I am arguing that if the owner decides, okay, I just threw $150, $200 million at the problem. Yeah, we made it back to the playoffs, but we had no chance to beat the team we lost to. Okay, I'm going to take a step back. That has repercussions on a lot of things.
No, no. I want Bill Belichick as the coach if I'm a Patriots fan. The point I'm making is,
I think I'd take the pick.
You would?
I think I would take the pick here.
Well, if the Giants
and then make McDaniels
make that trade.
Coach,
I don't know. Whoever, I don't really care. Like, I'll figure that. I'll figure that out when I get there.
Well, yeah. I think it matters.
I don't think I want anyone off the Belichick tree. So
well,
I don't really know.
I don't really know who
I'm bringing in. But I don't know if it'd be McDaniels or anybody off that.
Bill O'Brien,
no,
online
no, I don't
too.
Think so.
I'm available. I can do it. You know,
I don't want anybody off the Belichick tree. So I don't have a great answer. I'm just thinking this out now since you brought it up. I think I'd take the pick.
Yeah, see, I don't think I'd take the pick, but the thing is, if I was the Giants, I wouldn't do that because the Giants are rebuilding.
I think,
I don't want to start a rebuild.
Right, but forget the Giants, just generically. If somebody would give you a pick for Bill, would you take it, like a first rounder? I think I would.
I don't think I would.
But the other part of it is, because we're hashing all this out now, I think the owner is going to stay the course. I think the owner realizes that if he takes a step back, Bill's leaving. I think the owner wants to keep Bill. So what we're going to see next season is more of what we saw this season.
All right,
Band-Aids on the problem.
Well, then don't get your hopes up. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.